Welcome to today's edition of the Bible Class. Our teacher, Dr. Kenneth C. Hill, is teaching from the Old Testament book of Job. You may send your questions by email through our website at whcbradio.org. That's whcbradio.org. Or you may mail your questions to the Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluffville, Tennessee, 37617. And now, here is Dr. Hill with today's lesson.
Welcome to the Bible Class. We're continuing with our study of the book of Job. And we have God's second speech yet before us. He began in speaking to Job in chapter 38, and God in that first speech spoke of his knowledge, what he knew, whether it be in the heavens or on earth. And now God is going to, in his second speech, speak of his power. And we begin in Job chapter 40, verse 6. Then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind, and said, Gird up thy loins now like a man. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me, Wilt thou disannul my judgment? Wilt thou condemn me, that thou mayest be righteous? Hast thou an arm like God, or canst thou thunder with a voice like him? Deck thyself now with majesty and excellency, and array thyself with glory and beauty. Cast abroad the rage of thy wrath, and behold every one that is proud, and abase him. Now we stop there for just a moment and take a look at what God is saying. He said, Job, you're trying to usurp my position, my authority as governor of the world. And God's questions, of course, in this portion of the Word of God is very full of irony. God is asking if Job can actually perform those things which only God can do. Can you take somebody that's proud and put them into the dust? Of course you can't. Look on everyone that is proud, verse 12, and bring him low, and tread down the wicked in their place, hide them in the dust together, and bind their faces in secret. Then will I confess unto thee that thine own right hand can save thee. In other words, Job, you can't do what I can do. Get a grip. Don't think that you have the answers. Don't think that you have the ability. Don't think that you have the authority. Don't think that you have the strength. Do not place even in your thought an idea that you are greater than God. Mankind has that problem, don't we? We think that God should conform to us, not us conform to Almighty God. Verse 15, Behold now Behemoth, which I made with thee. He eateth grass as an ox. Lo, now his strength is in his loins, and his force is in the navel of his belly. He moveth his tail like a cedar. The sinews of his stones are wrapped together. His bones are as strong pieces of brass. His bones are like bars of iron. He is the chief of the ways of God. He that made him can make his sword to approach unto him. Surely the mountains bring him forth food, where all the beasts of the field play. He lieth under the shady trees in the covert of the reed and fens. The shady trees cover him with their shadow. The willows of the brook compass him about. Behold, he drinketh up a river and hasteth not. He trusteth that he can draw up Jordan into his mouth. He taketh it with his eyes. His nose pierceth through snares. Job is invited to consider the behemoth. Now, the behemoth is normally considered to be a hippopotamus. However, his tail of a hippopotamus is not like a cedar. We know that. But that's oftentimes what people say. We would perhaps take more solace in the fact that this is a prehistoric creature that is historic. Because if it were prehistoric, God would not be mentioning it, since the behemoth was living at the time of Job. And so this creature, whatever it is huge. That's the term behemoth. That's what it would lead us to believe. And it is drinking up water as if it were drinking a river, and yet was created at the time of creation. So creationists, scientists will tell us, or many will tell us, that this is some sort of a dinosaur. However, there are those who would say hippopotamus. But again, how can a hippopotamus with a slight tail have a tail like a cedar? And the cedar was known for its strength and its height and its girth and all that went with it. Suffice it to say, whatever you want it to be, suffice it to say it is a huge creature. And Job has no control over this huge creature. And God made this huge creature to do what the huge creature was doing. He didn't have to worry. He was so big, he could just take his time in drinking up the river. Well, he brings another illustration here to Job in chapter 41. Leviathan is mentioned. This is another one of those creatures that's mentioned in Job that creates controversy. Canst thou draw out Leviathan with an hook, or his tongue with a cord which thou lettest down? Canst thou put a hook in his nose, into his nose, or bore his jaw through with a thorn? Will he make many supplications unto thee? Will he speak soft words unto thee? Will he make a covenant with thee? Wilt thou take him for a servant forever? Wilt thou play with him as with a bird, or wilt thou bind him for thy maidens? Shall the companions make a banquet of him? Shall they part him among the merchants? Canst thou fill his skin with barbed iron, or his head with fish spears? Lay thine hand upon him. Remember the battle. Do no more. Behold, the hope of him is in vain. Shall not one be cast down even at the sight of him? None is so fierce that dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand before him? Who hath prevented me or gone before me that I should repay him? Whatsoever is under the whole heaven is mine. This second illustration of Leviathan, we had behemoth, now we have Leviathan. Leviathan is often referred to as a crocodile, but that doesn't do it justice. You can put a hook in a jaw of a crocodile. In fact, folks do it all the time. And they then take the parts of the crocodile and distribute them. But here, God says this Leviathan is so huge that you couldn't do those things with it. So crocodile, while it's being used by most commentators, or many commentators, is not sufficient. So Leviathan then, it would seem, is another one of those creatures that is beyond our understanding. It is a creature that is considered to be of dinosaur style. And I have no reason to doubt it at all. But a crocodile just does not do it justice any more than a hippopotamus does justice for behemoth. There are some things that we do not know. Just as God has been telling Job this throughout these verses, so it is with us today. We think we know everything? No. Are you kidding me? We know so little. God's creation is so vast, we're still learning. We have not learned of the molecules yet, much less have learned of the depths of the ocean. We are so puny in our understanding, and yet we think we know everything. That's what God's trying to teach Job. Have you not learned it yet? Have not the commentators of the Bible yet not learned that they don't know everything? It's interesting to me. I get a number of questions, and I enjoy getting questions. And a lot of times, I just have to say to the answer of the question, I don't know. Because there's more that I don't know than I do know. But I do know that my Redeemer liveth, and in the last day I shall stand and I shall see him, even if and when the skin worms have eaten my body, I will see him, and I will be in the flesh when I see him. I know that because it's here in Job. And if I've learned anything thus far, I, like Job, don't know much. Let's continue, shall we? He says this, verse 12, I will not conceal his parts, nor his power, nor his comely proportion. Who can discover the face of his garment? Or who can come to him with his double bridle? Who can open the doors of his face? His teeth are terrible round about. His scales are his pride, shut up together as with a close seal. One is so near to another that no air can come between them. They're joined one to another. They stick together. They cannot be sundered. By his kneesings a light doth shine, and his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Out of his mouth go burning lamps, and sparks of fire leap out. Out of his nostrils goeth smoke, as out of a seething pot or cauldron. His breath kindleth coals, and flame goeth out of his mouth. In his neck remaineth strength, and sorrow is turned into joy before him. The flakes of his flesh are joined together. They are firm in themselves. They cannot be moved. His heart is as firm as a stone, yea, as hard as a piece of the nether millstone. When he raiseth up himself, the mighty are afraid. By reason of breakings, they purify themselves. The sword of him that layeth at him cannot hold, the spear, the dart, nor the harbingen. He esteemeth iron as straw, and brass as rotten wood. The arrow cannot make him flee. Sling stones are turned with him into stubble. Darts are counted as stubble. He laugheth at the shaking of a spear. Sharp stones are under him. He spreadeth sharp pointed things upon the mire. He maketh the deep to boil like a pot. He maketh the sea like a pot of ointment. He maketh a path to shine after him. One would think the deep to be hoary. Upon earth there is not his like, who is made without fear. He beholdeth all high things. He is a king over all the children of pride. And so, you think it's a crocodile, do you? Fear dances before him is a perhaps good way to say sorrow is turned into joy before him. We say fear dances before him. This is the terror that the Leviathan brings to man and beast. Leviathan, being a dragon, or the type of animal that a dragon was patterned after in the various legends and stories. Certainly not a crocodile. Although, the commentators I read, that's what they want to hang on to. Sort of hard to do that, I would think. He boils the water. Not boiling as in hot and heated up, but boils the water as in the fury of the water when he's swimming. He's so big. The foaming of the water. Wow. Well, this is God's speaking. And God has spoken to Job here about his knowledge and then about his power. And Job is receptive, and in chapter 42, we're going to see Job's repentance. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself in dust and ashes. My friend, this is the position that you and I should be in after reading through the book of Job. We should realize that God can do everything. We should realize that God knows every thought. We should realize that God's counsel and wisdom is far above anything that we could consider, that these things that we have seen and heard are too wonderful for us, and we cannot understand in any fullness. Verse 5, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Job, in this portion, repents of his pride and rebellion, and finds contentment in the knowledge that he has fellowship with Almighty God. Now this is the great lesson of the book. If we know God, we do not need to know why he allows us to experience what we do. He's not only in control of the universe and all the facets of the universe, but he's also in control of our lives, and he loves us. Though his ways are sometimes beyond our comprehension, we should never criticize God for his dealings with us or with others, because God is always in control of all things, even when we don't understand that. Also, I think it's important for us to understand that God's visage, his face, his being, his physical representation was not seen in the whirlwind. No form of God appeared in that whirlwind. but what God revealed of himself in his conversation with Job allowed Job, enabled Job, empowered Job to see him. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. That was able. He was able. That is, Job was able to see God because of God's clear revelation of himself to Job in this conversation. My friend, do you know this almighty, wonderful Heavenly Father? Do you know Almighty God, maker of heaven and earth?
Thank you for joining us today for this edition of the Bible Class with Dr. Kenneth C. Hill. You may reach us by email by going to our website, whcbradio.org, and sending us an email on the Contact Us link. That's whcbradio.org. If you prefer to use the postal service, our address is The Bible Class, WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluffville, Tennessee, 37617. That's The Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluffville, Tennessee, 37617. You may also call us at 423-878-6279. Until our next Bible Class program, we are trusting that the Lord will richly bless you as you serve Him.